Good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock UK time, and my guest this week is Michael Cohen coming to us. He's a neuro coach. He's coming to us from the Swiss mountains where it's 6 p.m. over there. How's the weather been? We'll be very British to start with. How's the weather been where you are today?
Today was nice weather. Hi, Tom. First, thank you for having me here in your podcast. It's a real pleasure. Yeah, the weather was really nice today, autumn, with very nice colors. So I have the chance also to live very close by forest. So I'm going there very often with my dog. So it's very lovely these days, I must say.
Cool. Likewise, we've had some terrible weather, but today I was, to use the phrase from a leadership specialist, John Amici in the UK, he talks about fill my cup as a hashtag. So to fill my cup today, I went for a walk up into the highest viewpoint in the sun before getting into my afternoon's meetings. And it's a pleasure to have you on. We first met and spoke a few weeks ago. So introduce yourself as a neuro coach. So tell the audience a little bit about what does that mean and what do you focus on?
Okay, so before even telling them what does it mean, I will briefly explain the journey, because this is what drove me here and why I wanted to become a neuro coach and RTT practitioner. You know, I've been working for many years in different type of companies, startup, SME, and corporates at senior management level. And one day I decided, okay, I want to change. I make the conscious decision to leave the company I was in and started in business coaching. So, okay, I have a good business background. I say I wanted to have rather entrepreneurial, small, medium companies to grow the business. And very quickly, I found it a bit frustrating because I realized that people, work with them and teach them the hard skills, you know, automation, marketing, sales and everything. And very often they still reach a glass ceiling. And I realized that not only they needed the art skills, but they needed also to understand the common belief that they had that were empowering them. So I decided to move on to coaching. I use the word life coaching. I know it's eventually overused these days, but coaching. And I'm an engineer as a background, a computer science engineer. And, you know, I like to understand things. So I continue to study and to learn about the brain, so the neuro coaching with a neuroscientist. And the goal was for me to understand why and how all these things that we are told to do, like meditation, journaling, gratitude, all these things that we are told to do to improve our life, why are they working? And that's basically my journey to the neuro coaching. So like this, I can understand how I can help my client, my customers, and explain them also why is it working. It's not just guru and voodoo science and, you know, stuff. There are some science behind it. And for me, it was the goal to come to the neuro coaching and the RTT. I don't know if you're familiar with RTT. It's a rapid transformation therapy, therapy developed by Marisa Peer, but turning around basically hypnotherapy. So for me, coach was not really a job. It's not really a job. It's a tool. And I'm using different tools and modalities to help my customer to overcome their, as I said, their belief system and to unleash them and to give them back their power and to succeed, regardless they are working in a company or as an entrepreneur. I realized, and just to close the cycle, that the neuro helped me a lot because it helped people to understand why. Why is it working? There are some people that just believe and just go and everything they do, just have this conversation, it will work and that's fine. But still a lot of people, they do not believe because they think this is, you know, new age, whatever things it is.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can explain to them how the brain is working and everything about, you know, neuroplasticity, all these things, make them to believe and to understand why it's working, and it helps to amplify the results and to accelerate the results. And in a fast-paced world, people want quick and efficient results.
Okay. So to go back over some of that background, you know, your background as an engineer, background in business, and the framing of business coaching is quite common. It's all about tools and how do you make your business make more money, et cetera.
Absolutely.
And I have a background in that as well. I, you know, came from a business background. I think there's a similarity in that at the end of the day, businesses are run by people. And people have a bunch of beliefs and people are wired in terms of neurology certain ways.
Absolutely.
So there is this distinction between the tools they can use to improve their business, their systems, their efficiency, their productivity, their positioning, their marketing, all of that stuff, their automation, as you mentioned. But then there is the, for me, there's the gap between rationally what they need to do and behaviorally what they choose to do or choose not to do.
Absolutely.
It's interesting that you note that, you know, there's a lot, so in my experience, there's a lot in human behavior and coaching that just works, right? And when we look at neuroscience, I'm sure it's advancing extremely fast.
Very fast.
And when I first got into coaching over a decade ago, fundamentally, we knew the stuff worked from a practical standpoint.
Practical point, exactly.
But there was still a very, you know, the example I was given a dozen years ago was, you know, that years ago, the only way we knew how the brain operated was to dissect it from a corpse. And then we developed the functional MRI machine so we could see brain activity, you know, in a tube or whatever.
Yeah.
But what I was told by a neuroscientist back then was the level of detail we have is a little bit like looking at a building through Google Maps on satellite view. It's not exactly high definition.
No.
I imagine that the definition of that, using that analogy, that the definition is now at the point where we can read the date on a coin on the ground outside that house. So perhaps for those people who, and there will be quite a number who need to know why something works before they can buy into it, from your learning and understanding, perhaps talk through an example of coaching and why it works in terms of supporting somebody.
Well, I can give you a couple of examples. One was a person. As I told you, I'm doing RTT. RTT is about hypnotherapy, rewiring the belief system, erasing an old belief and re-implementing a new belief. And I was working with one person that was kind of, how do you say, not very open to that. We were doing some coaching and I said, well, in that case, an RTT session to erase one of your beliefs, that was around money, basically wealth wiring. And it was a very sharp person, smart, I think a PhD. So, you know, knowledgeable person, but he had some problem. He was reaching his glass ceiling, as I say. He was not doing the money that he could expect and should expect. And he was really stuck in there. And I was working with him through coaching. And at some point in time, I said, listen, I can see that there is something that is blocking you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do an RTT session. I explained him what is RTT. He was, you know, I don't believe in this and everything. I said, okay. I explained him that first how the brain is working, about the neuroplasticity and why is it working. Mm-hmm. And that there are proof, scientific proof. And there is, as you say, images where you can see the date on the coins and everything. So I said, well, scientific proof that you can rewire your brain. So he was already like more open. Then we went to this RTT session and we figure out that his relation to wealth was coming from his father. Mm-hmm. His father was a great guy, but it was very like, oh, he implemented when he was young in the brain of his son saying, if you make a lot of money, it means that you are for sure stealing someone.
Yeah.
Stealing from someone. All rich people are not honest. So there was a relation to money that was very like, okay, it's dirty. It's not good. And you cannot be a good person and and make money. So it's opposite. And this person, my client, was a good person and was important for him. And it was one of his core value. So basically all these conflicting beliefs were like in his head. I mean, I'm a good person. I would stay. I have core belief, but money is not good. And still I cannot give to my family the level that I wish to give them. So we went through this session. We discovered this origin through the RTT session. It was surprised and amazed that he figured out that this was somehow a root cause of this belief. And we worked, we erased this belief. We did the implementation of a new relation to wealth. And at the end of the session, like, he was totally amazed about the result that he got. And very quickly after the session, and this is the beauty of RTT, there are, if we wrap it, this is the beauty of it. Very quickly after the session, he realized that his relation to money and to wealth and to taking risk and, you know, change. And it was a situation on his life where he wanted to leave his current job to launch his own business. And now we did this like maybe 2 months ago. By the end of the year, he will accomplish this. And he was planning for this last 4 or 5 years. So he realized that it can change and that this belief and these tools, as we say, as a, how do you call it, RTT and hypnosis in that case, are working. And why I think it's important that you have to join both hypnosis and coaching. Because at the end, when you are moving a person from one situation to another situation, it will change their environment. So if they come in a new world, they will be surrounded with new challenges because they were not confronted to this new environment. So the coaching and the RTT as a good complementary tool, good complementary tools, because they help you to move, but then they also help you to navigate in a new environment. One of the analogy that I use quite often is when you give the sight back to a blind person, this is amazing. If you can do this, it's great. But you will not just let the person go outside and say, okay, now you can see, go. I mean, they will be surrounded with environment that they don't know at all. So this is very often the case when you remove this old pattern, this old belief and this old blocking system, you end up in a new world and you need to have some indication how to handle this new world.
Fascinating. Very cool to have a complementary modality, as you note. It is, I mentioned I went for a walk this morning, and most of my work is done afternoons and early evening UK time, because I work often with the Americas. And I had several conversations this afternoon before I spoke with you. And thematically, what was recurring was people's self-limiting beliefs. Highly capable people, either a client in a conversation or somebody saying why they were having an issue with somebody, or another coach I met with that was talking about the type of work they've been doing. And it is fascinating that, you know, if you can get people can get to sometimes really high level, and then there can be a block like the one you did. The beliefs around money are a very common blocker, as you'll know. Yeah. And actually just normalizing the fact that actually, because the term, I mean, you know, simplifying the term neuroplasticity, it's that you can, as you put it, you can rewire the channels, you can rewire it. And it's fascinating. You've got a modality that actually is being researched and validated and works. Because as a coach myself, and obviously as a coach myself, it's sometimes it's that balance, right? Sometimes you can spend quite a long time. You were talking about needing the credibility and that people can understand and why does it work. If you go straight into somebody and start talking about, so tell me about the beliefs that are holding you back, and they're an accomplished business owner or leader, they're going to go, no.
Yeah.
You've got to, first of all, let them talk about their business, what's happening in the business. And you've got to have the business experience to understand all of that. And often the magic really happens when they go, okay, so you know rationally what you need to be doing.
But you don't.
but you're not doing it. So what's stopping you? And let's talk about that. And generally, it can be, you can, using various coaching tools, you can release that for them. But I love the way you framed it, which is similar but different to my own experience. So it's just fascinating. And I know that people listening to this, if they can, you know, hopefully many of them will just take the viewpoint of going, to what, if they're open and curious, to what level does that occur to me? What limiting beliefs do I have? What did I grow up in childhood hearing? You know, if I'm hitting ceilings, but I've got all the tools to break through that ceiling, well, what's actually the blocker? And of course, once you've identified the blocker, you can actually use your other tools to really help them release it.
Absolutely. And there are two fascinating things that I see when I'm working with customers. Very often the most successful or high achiever you are, the more blocking element you may have. Because the more you do, I don't know if you experience this also with your clients, but for high achiever, with the time, things seems to be easy. So the imposter syndrome is kicking in because they say, well, I've done this and it seems so easy because I'm competent. They say, well, if it's that easy, it means that I must be a fraud somehow. So, and when I heard this very often, they say, well, but it was really easy for me. Well, it's easy for you, as you stated, but for 98% of the people, it was not easy. So it's mean that you have accomplish something that most of the people could not or would not achieve. So, and the problem is also that the high achievers is that they came from here to here and they have challenges to understand that what brought them from here to here will not get them to go from there all the way up. And it's difficult you have to walk past the ego, to pass the expertise, the experience, where they say, well, we know I've managed, I've done this, I've achieved a lot. What do you think? And also to confront their own vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Because at the end, being able to be at that level, but still accept that, okay, you are not perfect. You have a lot of flaws and like everybody, I mean, all of us. So you have to pass this barrier. So that's why I say coaching and RTT are a good match. Because through the coaching, you can work on and face this block.
Yeah.
And okay, I have a tool. It will go fast because people want quick results. And this is quite very important because this is what I call the 5-step for reframing your thinking. First, you have to understand the common belief that is unempowering you. Uh-huh. Then you understand how your beliefs have been built and how your mind wires your brain. Uh-huh. And then understand how your brain can be reprogrammed to erase this old belief. Mm-hmm. And fourth, understand how new positive beliefs are implemented and how understand how your change will transform your life and make you move to the next step. And the thing is, very often people think that you have to change a lot of things to move. Very often it can be one thing and then they will move the next stage and then there will be eventually another thing. But the big difference, I think, between coach, or at least from what I see when I do RTT session, people don't come with, oh, my life is a mess, please help me. You know, no. The goal is to really be focused on one subject, remove one block, move on, and so forth and so on. So this is the approach that I'm trying to get with my customers.
Well, as we're sharing different things, I love the way you were expressing the specific challenge that comes with working with somebody who's already accomplished a lot. I'm really focused on the people I work with and people I don't. So those are the people I work with. They've already accomplished a lot. They're already gone from good to great, but they have to have that recognition that what's got them here will not get them there. And there's a lot, often there can be quite a lot to do to establish with them what the block is, right? Because they might have spent 20, 30 years getting to where they are, and a lot of things have been easy. But they have hit a level where either they see it or their company sees it for them, that they can lift to a whole new level.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to really rewire some patterns. And so that's fascinating. And for me, it's, the a really key piece of work, was done by Carol Dweck around the book Mindset. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's being able to let go of the fixed mindset, which is all about ego, mm-hmm. and then remove the ego and have a growth, curiosity, and you mentioned vulnerability and humility, mm-hmm. and actually sit there with an experienced coach who's just there for them and just goes, right, okay, I've helped other, and the first thing is they need belief. They need to go, okay, I believe in you. I've helped other people with this, and whether I, you know, you work with RTT and I work with other tools, mm-hmm. it's just that they recognize, yeah, we'll get there, and it won't, it's quite simple. And once we unlock this, we then get to the next level and go, okay, what's the next context? What will you focus on next? And it is fascinating. And there's something to zero in on one thing you talked about. I never really thought of it this way. Every human has imposter syndrome. And it is, I've certainly come across it, but I've never thought it through the way you expressed it. The more accomplished somebody is, they've gone probably a longer period of time finding it easy. So when they find it hard, they might find it difficult to admit it to themselves. Yeah. That actually, to some extent, what's going on is I'm a fraud.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not competent. I mean,
right? It's just been too easy. So therefore, you know, I've just been winging it all this time.
Mm.
One of the most common examples of that I've found, and it's personal too, is public speaking.
Mm.
Right. Sometimes there's a moment when I'm the weird guy who loves public speaking, but sometimes there's a moment where I'm going, why do they want to hear from me? Like, and it's like, I've got nothing to say. It's like, and you go, so you just quiet that one and move on. But we all have imposter syndrome at some level, but it tends to hit people with a bullet, right? And when it tends to really get them, when they get to us, when they hit, a level I need to break through on.
Mm.
But you know, the final reflection from listening to you, it's been some great stuff, is that, yeah, they're not coming going, I'm a mess, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
They're not really coachable at that point. That's a real, they'll go talk to a therapist, and when you get to
exactly.
the level point, come to me.
Absolutely.
But it's actually, here's where you're successful and you need to get to another level. What do we need to focus on and get really focused and move forward? Which also fits well with those sort of high level business people, because they're very results oriented and they want
exactly.
to get there.
Exactly.
The biggest challenge I've found oftentimes is getting them to slow down.
Yeah.
Because actually, I know you're mentioning a particular modality that once you've identified it can release the block. But I was just meeting a client the other week, that I've stopped working with now, but we had a walk, a catch up.
Mm.
And, working with them and their business partner, I said, oh, we want to do this. We want to take the business to the next level. We want to work out where we want to go ourselves after being in business together for many years. And instinctively, I just said to them, and this is the time when meeting indoors was not allowed. This is last year. I said, we live reasonably close to each other, the three of us. I said, I want you to trust me with this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to meet each of you individually for walks several times in the next 2 months, and then we'll come together. And for both of them, the first meeting was, well, I'm just walking around talking about all kinds of stuff with this coach. What's that about? But when they did come to, you know, but we had to get clear on what the real blockers were, what the real issues were. What does each person want next? And
yeah.
then come together and say, as business partners, what do you want? Because when I met them together to begin with, I thought, they're not really clear on each of them is not clear on what the other person wants. Therefore, how are they going to collectively work out what's next?
Right.
So I just, when would they ever have stopped as busy business people to really think about what do they want next out of life and business?
Mm-hmm.
So I just had these long, holistic walks with them,
yeah.
right, in order to get them to the point where they could talk about the business, talk about themselves, and then work it all out. And once we put that investment into the first couple of months of lots of time on walks, then they could go, ah, so this is what we want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I I really like what you said about, slowing down, because I heard this sentence, not a long time ago from, maybe you heard about the coach Rich Litvin, and he used this sentence quite often, slow down to go fast.
Yeah.
And this is so true sometimes. It's important also to slow down. And it's also something I'm doing with my customers, saying, okay, let's go one day out. We just go do whatever you feel like. Do you like hiking in the mountain? We have a lovely mountain here in Switzerland. Let's go. And it put them in a different environment, because even though they enjoy their 1 hour or 2 hour session coaching, putting them outside of the usual context, it bring them a new environment. And the other element that also came to my mind when you just mentioned something before, I think, I'm not sure, but I think it's Seneca that mentioned this, and the block is the way. Meaning that sometimes we see a blockage and we have the tendency to say, we just want to remove this block from our road. And what if the block was just not a step to go even higher to the next? And I read this like a few months ago, or can't you remember? And I thought, well, that's exactly that. Every time you reach a block, either you let him, block you indefinitely, but trying to move it away and continue at the same level you are, this is not the goal. The goal is really to climb over it and to reach the next level. So I really love this sentence.
So to the two things you mentioned, first of all, the English translation is the obstacle is the way.
The obstacle is the way.
And there's a young man called Ryan Holiday who's written the Daily Stoic and has really brought forward the Roman and Greek Stoics, in a big way. So people can look up Ryan Holiday, and he's written a book called The Obstacle is the Way. The other one is the phrase I've used many, many times as a coach, is which will translate into, if you have French language clients, will translate into French even better than slow down to go fast, is slow down to speed up later.
Yeah.
So slow down to speed up later. Because that similar thing is that it's look at the obstacle as a step on the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because then there'll be another step and another step and another step.
That's exactly right.
So it's that weird thing when you walk to the top of a hill or mountain and you go, right, I've reached the summit. And then when you get there, particularly in a place like the Alps, you go, oh, there's another one.
This is a never-ending story. And this is also, I'm sorry, I'm jumping,
it's cool.
Aside, but it's also something very important, because I can't remember, so I will not give names, but there is a difference between the fixed mindset and growth mindset, as you mentioned before. And something that I learned by, reading and listening to some high level neuroscientists, is that why, for example, it's important to not focus on the reward of the journey, but really on the journey itself, even though it's challenging and everything, is that because if you focus on the reward, you diminish the impact and you diminish your motivation to do the journey.
Yeah.
And it levels down your dopamine level, because at the end, just the result is important.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out this doing a study, if I'm correct, with children that loved to draw.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, okay, you love to draw. If you do one nice draw, I will give you a reward, chocolate, candies, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And they realized that with the time, the motivation of the children for drawing was going down, because at the end, it's not the drawing that they like. This is the candies.
Right.
And you can, sabotage your own motivation if you focus too much on the reward rather than appreciating, even though it might be difficult, the effort himself of doing something. And this is very interesting, because another example that I can see, it's also, for example, sports. Some people love sports, some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
But people say, oh, do sport, because you will have a kick of dopamine and it would be great for your brain and everything. So just go do CrossFit, do, high intensive sport. For some people, it's working because they enjoy the sport.
Yeah.
But if you focus on saying, oh, the reward that I get after, eventually I can allow myself to eat a sundae or a pizza whatsoever after, because then it will make the effort harder and harder to make it, and it cannot be sustained. But if you succeed to enjoy the effort that you do, sport, and if it's not, as I say, CrossFit or cross-functional training or something like that. It can be something different, but you should get your reward through the effort himself and not through the reward that you get by doing the effort. And it's the only way to sustain, you know, the progress about this climbing the mountain.
So it's what's fascinating, going back to the fact that you like to look at the research on things. So, you know, the fact there's been, you know, peer-reviewed studies on the dopamine effect and measuring that with, you know, motivation for children, withdrawing and reward. And of course, we go back to Pavlov and Pavlovian response and this kind of thing. But if we link that to coaching, and I'll give you an example in a minute, is that, you know, we're always, you know, this is coaching. We're always looking for what the issue is, never the issue, is another phrase.
Oh, yeah.
So what really sits at source with a block or an obstacle, and looking at it from a different angle, is what do you need to focus on in order to get the results? And then the third thing of three would be to look at the individual style. So a big part I work on with leaders who are often exhausted and busy is their own performance. And looking at the physical part of that, I've done a lot of work and done research and used other people's research on physical performance.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have, you know, Usain Bolt has a different kind of muscle makeup than a East African runner that will run the marathon. And different people need different things to different times of day, different things like this. But a simple example I would give is a past guest on the show is a dear friend of mine, Ian Armiger, who is one of the top swim coaches in the world. And he built the biggest swim program in Europe, many, many Olympians. And I was quite surprised to find that when one of my sons went to swim with him at university, he was in the same squad as a multiple Olympic finalist. My son was in the less high speed group. But her, at the time, fiance and world record holder was in the performance squad at the other end of the complex.
Mm-hmm.
And he explained it to me. He said, well, she likes camaraderie and a training group that's fun and has a lot of laughs, a lot of variety. That's why she swims. And about once or twice a year, she'll swim really fast at a meet. But what keeps her going is the group and the training and the feel and the community. Whereas for her now husband, what kept him going was just absolute competitiveness all the time.
Yeah.
And that's really important to identify, to not motivate the wrong thing, such as the reward for a nice painting, but also to work out what the right things are.
Absolutely. Right?
And because it will vary by individual. And, I'm just thinking of one right now, is that somebody I know very well is working out to go to a new gym. Mm-hmm. And they've found one that has elements of CrossFit in it.
Mm-hmm.
But the word that when they talked to me about it, going to see the new gym and all this thing, the word that just came to me the whole time they were talking was community.
Yeah.
You know, so it has elements of CrossFit, but as people who know CrossFit know, it tends to be people who like that high energy, high intensity, it's still community, but it's super competitive.
Yeah.
Whereas it's just different. So knowing what motivates, so if people are thinking, listening to this, it's like, understand what motivates you and understand, but also understand what you need to focus on in order to get your results. Right. And,
yeah.
And also that sometimes and be prepared for the fact it might be a journey and when I used to do a huge amount of business travel, I used to listen to a podcast from a guy who said, travel is about the journey, not the destination.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see business travelers in airports, they very rarely get frustrated with lineups, holdups, delays, because they know how it flows and they don't worry about that. They realize that it's all part of the experience.
Yeah.
Whereas infrequent travelers get upset all the time. Yeah. <It's> like,
That's so true. And I love the example that you use about the CrossFit, because I did some CrossFit for a few years and my wife, which is a sport coach also, was very into CrossFit. But both of us were there for different reasons. And it's exactly what you mentioned. She's very, like, I want to say competitive, but to to compete against herself. I mean, so it was, she was really into the, you know, the high performance and going high on this and everything. And for me, I was playing football. I mean, as you're British, it's real football, not, you know, the American one.
Of course.
So, so I was playing for many years football also because I loved also the team and the group and everything. And when I started CrossFit, it's, I tried a few years, you know, going to the gym, to fitness, and I didn't really like it. And with the CrossFit, I would say, oh, what I like the most is the individual sport where I can find the best community and team spirit. And this is exactly what was driving me in. It was not the effort of, you know, being the strongest man or whatsoever. So it was really the mood, the community and everything. So, and it drills down to what Simon say, find your why. But at the end, it's find your why for almost everything you do.
Yeah.
I mean, your big why, but also your daily activities. Why are you doing it? And how can you get the satisfaction out of it? And it can be simple and easy activities or more complex.
Great. So conscious of time. And so I've got a final thought for myself, but then I'll leave you to close. My final thought for anybody listening to this, wondering if they would have what it takes to coach.
Mm-hmm.
What you and I have been talking about, big part of what we've been talking about, and the final thing you said about your big why, your little why, or the word I use for that is your context.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches are always listening for context. Somebody might just talk detail all the time to them. They're going, what are they really talking about here? Is it community? Is it, you know, purpose? Is it the source or the outcome? But they're always listening for context. So if anybody's listening to this and they say, I do that all the time, I'm listening for what sits behind the content of what somebody's saying, then you've probably got what it takes to be a coach. So that's the thought from me, for anybody who's just been listening to two coaches talk for half an hour. I'll leave you with some closing words, and it's been a pleasure to have you on as a guest, Michael. Thank you.
First of all, thank you for having me in. It was really great. I really enjoy your conversation. So, and the final word is, again, I'm reusing one sentence, is connect to the dots. I mean, the famous sentence from Steve Jobs. And this is something very important because we can have all the elements here and there, but sometimes we need to draw the dots and connect the dots to understand how we work and how and why we work and how these, all these things are interconnected. Private life, professional life, everything somehow, and they are interconnected. And you mentioned the context. That's true. It's important, but also it's important to be able to have the capacity to go from the focus view to the larger view and to go back and forth in order to change your focus. Because if you focus only on the simple dot, then you don't see the full context. But if you see all just the full context, you don't see the details. And it's important to have this ability to focus back and forth.
To adjust the focus. So where can people find you online, Michael?
Well, they can find me on my website, michaelcohen.co, and on social media, on Instagram, it's mick.cohen, mic.cohen with a C, C-O-H-E-N.
Okay, cool. michaelcohen.co is a great starting point. It's been an absolute pleasure. Many thanks, Mike.
Thank you very much, Tom. Take care. Bye.